It's the song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain.
Welcome to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter, and I'm glad that you're with us today. We are talking last week, this week, next week about bumping the trajectory in your spiritual life. Bumping the trajectory, pressing on to take hold of that for which Jesus took hold of you. And we'll get to that conversation in just a moment. Let me first remind you that 721 Live is the radio arm of 721 Ministries. Our website is 721ministries.org, 721ministries.org. Our other website is puttinggreenblog.com, puttinggreenblog.com. On that Putting Green website, we've got our latest book, The Missing Link, Learning to Live, or Learning to Move from Self-Power to Holy Spirit Power. I highly encourage you to go to that website and take a look at that book. You'll be very encouraged by the book. We've got great reviews on it, so you check us out at the puttinggreenblog.com, and you can also see 721ministries.org. Well, we've got all kind of information, including past radio shows, on that website. We started last week with this focus on bumping the trajectory of our spiritual lives, of our relationship with Jesus, of our walk with the Lord. And I might give a title to this show, 10:30 on Tuesdays. 10:30 on Tuesdays. Because I hear this so often. Sam, I feel so close to Jesus in the early morning when I'm reading and praying and doing my devotional time, my quiet time. But by 10:30, I'm engrossed in work, or I'm distracted, or I'm overwhelmed, or the phone's ringing, the problems are coming, and I might not think about God or Jesus until I get ready to go to sleep that night. If then, how do I bring my quiet time, my early morning devotional time, that closeness that I feel with Jesus early into my busy, rough and tumble day? Can I get an amen on that? Because isn't that what we're all struggling with? Is this not the challenge for all of us? I mean, in full transparency, I'm in the ministry business, and I can find myself having been focused on work all morning and not had a single conversation with my best friend, Jesus. Now, of course, I'm working on Jesus stuff, but if I'm not careful, I'll slip right out of His presence in my senses and into the Sam, if I don't, it won't. I got to get this going. I got to stay focused on my list of things to do. I can slip into that in a flash. So what I know and what I want to convey to you is, if there's to be any real transformation in my life and in your life, I must and you must simply figure out a way to bring Jesus into the details of my hour-to-hour, day-to-day, talking, walking around existence, my day. You have to do that. I mean, we want to do that. Dallas Willard, who is my favorite thinker and author, he says it like this. And I think this is so rich and so beautiful. God wants us to be in a conversational walk through life, talking with Him about what we are doing together. What we're doing together. Have you ever thought about that? Thought of it that way? God wants us to be in a conversational walk through life, talking with Him about what we're doing together. And Dallas goes on. Then we begin to understand that God's whole purpose is to bring us to the point where He can walk with us quietly, calmly, and constantly, leaving us space to grow, to be His often fumbling collaborators, to have some distance from Him, and yet to be united with Him, because we are being conformed to the image of His Son, bearing the family resemblance. That comes from Dallas's book called Hearing God. But it is so right on. That God wants us to be a walking and talking around conversation with Him throughout the day. Now, here's what I know. And I know this, not just believe it or think it, no, I know it. If you would begin this conversational walk today, pausing throughout the day to chat with Jesus about what's going on in your life, that it will transform your day, and then your life, and then who you are. I know this. I've been practicing this for a while, and it changes everything. One of the men in the meetings, in our 7:21 meeting, said, Sam, this conversational walk that you're talking about, do you not have to have the awareness of Jesus in your life first to have this conversational walk with him? Because I'd been emphasizing just the conversational walk with Jesus, talking with him throughout the day about what's going on, what I'm doing, what we're doing together. And I started thinking about it, and my whole thrust is that the conversational walk with Jesus throughout the day creates the awareness that he's with me, that he's there. But the awareness creates the conversation also. So the more I talk with him, the more aware I am that he's right there with me. The more aware I am that he's right there with me, the more I'm going to talk with him. I might even, and I mean this, I might even go so far as to say that if you will start this conversational walk with Jesus, bringing him in throughout the day, not every second, of course, but throughout the day, bringing him in, having good conversations with him about the good things, the bad things, the funny things, the things that you're worried about. If you just bring him in, that it might be more important than your understanding doctrine and theology. Now, you don't need to send me an email telling me I've become a heretic. Of course I want you to read your scriptures. Of course I want you to spend time in your Bibles daily. And of course I want you to learn and understand the theology and the doctrine that emanates from the scriptures. Of course I do. But I'm still undaunted in my conviction that this is so important that it'll change your life. Now, I heard this story years ago. Three holy men living on an island, separated from civilization, and therefore separated from civilized church doctrine. They were renowned. They had a reputation all around that region for their powerful prayer life and the resulting miracles that accompanied them. But they were simple men, not learned and not schooled in theology and doctrine of the church. And the bishop of that region heard about these men and their powerful prayer life, so he decided to visit them. And upon arriving, he asked them to show him how they prayed. So they did. And they started their simple, somewhat elementary prayers. And the bishop soon interrupted them. And he said, men, you sound as though you're just having a conversation with God. This won't do. Let me teach you and train you so that your prayers will be more sophisticated and more organized. So he spent much time with them doing just that. Then after he was satisfied, he got back on his boat and he was sailing away. And shortly he saw this, what looked to be a fireball coming across the water. And he realized that it was these three men racing across the top of the water. And when they got to the boat, they cried out with great angst, Your Holiness, we've already forgotten your last outline on prayer. Please teach us again. And the bishop regarded the men standing there on the water. And he lowered his head and he said, please just go home and forget everything I said. Just keep your conversation with Jesus going like you have been doing already. And that's a great example for us, isn't it? That we have this power that will erupt the closer we get to Jesus, the more we keep him into the details of our life. So here's what we talked about briefly last week, and we're going to continue on and springboard off of it, that there's this, we call it bumping the trajectory, because you may be on an upward trajectory, that you're growing, maybe slowly, but ever so surely you're growing in your walk with Jesus and your relationship with your Heavenly Father. But if you can bump that trajectory, then now you're at a higher plane, a richer plane. And Paul writes it like this in Philippians 3:12, not that I've already obtained all of this, the spiritual maturity we're talking about, or have already been made perfect, already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I press on to take hold of That sounds like he's actually doing something, doesn't it? That sounds like he's not expecting this to be an osmosis process where he just becomes more spiritual by some Holy Spirit power that just happens. No, he's pressing on, and he says to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. That. And I'm sure Paul has in mind a specific that for his life, that Jesus took hold of him for a reason, for a that, and he wants it. And he wants to take hold of it. And my friend, listening to me right now, Jesus took hold of your life, and it took hold of you for a that. And that is specific to you. There will be commonalities with your that and my that, and all of us followers of Jesus is that, but it's specifically designed for you. And you want to press on to take hold of it fully. And then the other that we talked about last week was Matthew 7:24, putting this into practice. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Putting it into practice. Actually bringing it into the day in and day out details of your life. Now, this is what we want to do. This is what we're talking about, increasing our focus, bringing him into these conversational walks throughout the day. And in a few moments, I'm going to talk about 4 P's that I have started each morning as resetting my whole perspective each morning. And it's perspective, it's purpose, it's priority, and it's power. My perspective each morning, my purpose each morning as I start the day, my priority for that day, and the power that I'm going to live in. We're headed to that in just a few moments. But before we get there, I got to give you a warning. Because my job is to encourage you and to teach. But it's also to warn. There are certain things in the Scriptures that I think should have in the Scripture. Do not miss this. Because these things are so... if we miss them, we've missed something big. So I'm going to go back to Jeremiah 3, verse 6. During the reign of King Josiah, the Lord said to me, "Have you seen what faithless Israel has done?" Let me pause for a minute. King Josiah and Jeremiah are in the southern kingdom. They're in what we call Judah, Jerusalem in the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom, which we're calling at that time is called Israel, has split away. And if you read 2 Kings, a little bit of the end of 1 Kings and 2 Kings, you'll see that all these kings in Israel, in the northern kingdom, are a sorry lot. Evil, bad, hardly any good comes out of them. Most of the kings in the southern kingdom, in Judah, are a sorry lot. Josiah is one of the good ones. Hezekiah is one of the good ones. Not a many of them. But this conversation that God has with Jeremiah, he says, "Have you seen what faithless Israel has done?" Faithless Israel. "She has gone up on every high hill and under every spreading tree and has committed adultery there." One of the translations says she has played the whore there. And God goes on, "I thought that after she had done all of this, all of these sins, she would return to me, but she did not. And I'm adding, to make it worse, her unfaithful sister, Judah, saw it." So you've got the northern kingdom behaving terribly, and you've got the southern kingdom, Judah, watching it. Let's go on in verse 8. God says, "I gave faithless Israel her certificate of divorce and sent her away because of her adulteries. Yet I saw that her unfaithful sister Judah had no fear. She also went out and committed adultery." So Judah has seen the northern kingdom behaving with so much evil and then getting punished for it by God, and yet they could do the same thing. Verse 9, "Because Israel's immorality mattered so little to her, she defiled the land and committed adultery with stone and wood. In spite of all this, her unfaithful sister Judah did not return to me with all her heart, but only in pretense, declares the Lord." Verse 11, and this is one of the scariest passages in Scripture. "The Lord said to me, faithless Israel is more righteous than unfaithful Judah. Faithless Israel, that sorry lot up there, that evil lot up there in the northern kingdom, those terrible people, in my sight, God says, they're more righteous than you in the Bible Belt, you in Judah. Now, let me paraphrase this so that we can apply this to our own lives, and I will apologize in advance to any of you that are listening in California or Oregon, okay? I'll apologize, but we all know that California is mostly a godless state and that Oregon is the least church state in the entire union, and so it's a godless state. I know that there are pockets of great followers of Jesus, but if I offend you, I don't mean to, but I live in the South, and the South might as well be Judah. And so I could read this like this: faithless California or faithless Oregon is more righteous than unfaithful Greenville, South Carolina, slap dab in the middle of the Bible Belt. And why? Think about it. God is saying the Northern Kingdom, they don't care. They're not exposed to what you're exposed to. But you should know better. And you're living down here in the Bible Belt of Judah, the Bible Belt of the South. And in my view, I actually consider you to be less righteous because you ought to know better and you ought to behave better. And I expected more out of you. So I want to make this personal. And here's what I did with the men. I had us all say this out loud together. And at the end, I had us insert our own names. And I would encourage you to listen to this and then repeat with me when I repeat it and put your own name in. The Lord said to me, faithless California is more righteous than unfaithful and lazy, complacent, drifting, and distracted Sam. You willing to say that with me? Faithless California is more righteous than unfaithful and lazy, complacent, drifting, and distracted, and you fill in your name. Because if we're not willing to press on to take hold of that for which Jesus took hold of us, then we're liable to slip into that category. And we don't want that. We want to be digging for the richness. I want to encourage you to dig for the richness. I want to teach you that the richness is there. But I want to warn you that if you're just complacent, if it really doesn't matter, then it's not just being complacent. You're less righteous in your Heavenly Father's eyes than the worst of the worst. When you think about this pursuing, this pushing, this moving forward to take hold of, think about this: the lady that had been bleeding for so many years. We're in Luke 8, and I'll read from verse 42. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subjected to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. You know the story, don't you? Imagine this crowd that's so pressed in on Jesus that they're bumping each other, they're bumping him. The disciples are trying to organize it. They're trying to run interference for him. His own little squad of protection unit trying to keep this thing going. And this lady, how does she get to Jesus? Now, just picture this. She has to press, push, crawl, whatever she can do to get through to touch his cloak, because she believes that by doing that, she'll be healed. You see, that woman was desperate. She was desperate to get to Jesus. And I was thinking about this, and I want you to think about it. Some of you are desperate right now. Your life's upside down, and you're desperate for Jesus to be a part of whatever the situation is, to fill you, to fix it. You're desperate. But some of you, life is going really well right now, and you're not in the least desperate. And quite frankly, my life right now is just about perfect. That could change. I know it can change, but I have no worries right now. I have no fears. Some of what could be worries and could be fears, I just trust that Jesus is going to take care of them, that my Heavenly Father loves me, or my daughters or my wife or whatever, perfectly. But my life is really just about right at this point, just about perfect. And yet, I want to be desperate for more. I want to be desperate to go deeper. So desperate can be in a negative situation. Yeah, desperate can be in a positive situation. But either way, I want to be desperate. I want to be like this lady who's going to push through the crowd to get closer to Jesus, to bring him more into my life. I want to be desperate for more because the richness there is so real and so deep and so wonderful. So here's what I want you to think about now that I've set the table. How do we make this more real? How do we, 10:30s on Tuesday, at 3:30 on Wednesday, how do we bring Jesus into our everyday walking around details of our lives? And we start at the outset by inviting him in, and then we reset throughout the day to involve him. At the outset and reset, outset and reset, outset and reset. At the outset of the day, you invite him in. At the reset, you figure out ways to reset during the day to involve him, to bring him back into your presence and your awareness. I read an article about changes, you know, this beginning of the year, everyone's looking at New Year's resolutions, and it said if you create a new habit, make it a small one, something that's achievable, something that you want to do, but then attach it to a habit, to a prompt, something that you're doing throughout the day anyway, if you attach it to that, then it will become so much more real. The man that discipled me, James Waters, told me all those years ago that every time he reached to turn the radio on or change the channel, that was a prompt for him to pause and spend a few seconds with the Lord. So you start the day out on the outset of the day inviting Jesus in. During your quiet time, during your prayer time, you want him to be a part of it. And then throughout the day, you reset and remind yourself to involve him in the day. At the outset, Jesus says in Revelation 3:20, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." At the outset, Jesus is already at the door. Just invite him in. Just open the door and invite him in. And Jesus says, "I'll come in and eat with that person." And in Jesus' culture, having a meal with someone that wasn't a grab and go. That wasn't a 15-minute exercise. That was fellowship. That was time spent together. All you have to do is open the door. And then you reset throughout the day and you involve him. You bring him back in. In John 10:9, Jesus says, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture." See, Jesus is saying, you start off in the morning with your quiet time, your devotional time. Maybe you've got a small group, maybe even in your church. You're inside the gate and you find that rich pasture. But you can go outside the gate and get into the real world, so to speak, the rough and tumble day. No matter whether you're working at home or working outside, you'll find pasture there if you'll keep involving him, if you'll keep inviting him, if you'll reset the day, if you'll figure out a way to prompt yourself to say, "Oh, wait a minute. I've just gone an hour and haven't even thought about Jesus. Let me just pause for a moment." Maybe there's something in your day that you can use to attach this prompt to. And what I want you to think about, and this is what I gave the men, the index cards today, but I had them printed up. And on the index card, at the top is perspective, and then number two is purpose, and number three is priority, and number four is power. If I start off the day with the proper perspective that Jesus is with me, that his presence is right there with me, then I will be more likely to carry him forward. When you start off your day, do you even think in terms of his presence, that perspective that he's everywhere? Do you think in terms of what is my purpose for today? Do you think in terms of what is my priorities for today? And do you think in terms at all of what power am I going to live with? And I can promise you, your choices are self-power and Holy Spirit power. There's no in-between. And that's why I'll just give a plug for the book, The Missing Link, that you can get on the puttinggreenblog.com, why you should read it, because I continue in there to talk about how do you live by the power of the Holy Spirit and move from self-power But do you think in terms of this? Perspective, purpose, priority, and power. And when it comes to your purpose, you know, I deal with men. That's the men's ministry. And I don't expect these men to sit in a closet and pray and have Jesus take care of their work each day. Or as a woman, you're working in a business situation or at home, or a man, maybe you're working at home, whatever. We're not talking about sitting in and doing nothing expecting Jesus to take care of the day. We're talking about, is his purpose your purpose? I have my day timer. I have a list of things I want to do every day that I feel like I have to do each day, or that I actually do have to do each day. This radio show doesn't just create itself out of thin air. But if my purpose is and my priority are Jesus, then I'll be open to those interruptions that come in. And ministry is so often found in the interruptions. So I start my day, and I had the men, and I gave them this card, and you could just do it with an index card. And I put it right where I read my Bible each day, and I put another one in my day timer. My perspective, do I see Jesus everywhere? Do I realize I live in a kingdom that is saturated with God, that I am swimming in a sea of God as I move throughout the day? Is my purpose his purpose? I have my list of things to do, but do I really want to be in his purpose today over my purpose? Is he my priority? Will I seek first his kingdom? And will I live in his power? I'm going to come back next week and talk more about these four P's. But I want you to think about your perspective each morning, resetting that perspective, inviting him in, your purpose, your priority, and the power in which you're planned to operate that day. Can you, as we said at the outset, invite him in and then reset during the day to involve him? Outset, invite. Reset, involve. Because I believe, my friends, that this conversational walk through life, talking with Jesus about what we are doing together, realizing that he's with me and I'm with him and his presence is with me, that will bump the trajectory of my spiritual walk and your spiritual walk, and that my relationship with Jesus will become so interactive. I'm Sam Hunter, and this is 721 Live. So long. God's peace to you. I hope to see you next Friday.
God shine a light on me, open up my eyes so I can see. When I look up in the darkest night, then I know everything is going to be all right.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Talk, His Radio Network, or the Radio Training Network.